Hi, this is Ben Curtis, Dying of Heat in Madrid. It's another podcast in the notesfromspain.com series. Today, we're off on a walk around Madrid's Retiro Park. So here we are in the Retiro Park. It's about 35 degrees at around 8 o'clock in the evening. There's a nice breeze, but in the same way as in the winter in England, you get a wind chill factor that makes the temperature seem colder when there's a stiff breeze. Here, when there's a bit of a wind on an afternoon like today, you get a sort of hairdryer effect, intensifying this wonderful heat. So anyway, I've come out for my what is trying to be a daily walk, seeing as I get no other exercise whatsoever. In the rose garden at the moment, this beautiful part of the Retiro, which of course, as the name suggests, is full of roses, and as you can probably hear, fountains as well. Anyway, Madrid's a very difficult city to do exercise in if you're not particularly interested in going to the gym or jogging. I haven't tried the gym. I tried that years ago and never again. I did try jogging for a while with some friends around the park. It's a lovely place to jog, but jogging is just so boring. Swimming, I tried that as well. It's another sort of city sport, possibly even more boring than jogging, which leaves the forced walk, which is very nice. I was informed the other day by my mother that you should walk 10,000 paces a day, which I worked out is around 6 kilometres. I don't think I'm going to get anywhere near that, but at least trying to go for a walk for around 40 minutes every day hopefully will be enough exercise. My original plan had been to move to the sea after I arrived in Madrid, a month after I got here, and that was scuppered as soon as I was offered a job in an academy here teaching English. And I stayed a year because of that, was about to leave again, and then met Marina, who you may have heard in the Market podcast, the fifth podcast in this series. She is from Madrid, and that was the end of that. Never made it to the coast, but I think if I lived by the sea, it would be a lot easier to get nice exercise. There's so many things you can do with water, which are a lot more pleasant than jogging around a park, for example. Anyway, we're very lucky because we live right near to the, right next to the Retiro Park, so it's very easy to come down here for a walk. Car driving past. There's not really meant to be any cars in the Retiro, but some people seem to manage to drive around. And the Retiro, I mean, it really is a tacky thing to say. You know, the park is the lungs of a city, but in this smoggy, crazy metropolis, it really does seem like that sometimes. In the summer, the park is mostly dominated by horse chestnut trees, conker trees, which provide wonderful shade with their big, sort of floppy rabbit ear leaves. Pigeons everywhere. And it really is a nice place to come. Especially on a day like today, when I have spent the entire day sitting in front of a computer in my flat, tackling a 40,000 word translation that has to be done by the end of the month. So not much going out for me for the next 8 or 9 days. But I have to get the daily walk in to keep the body moving a little bit. Not that I'm particularly old or anything like that, but will be one day, so apparently it's good to do exercise when you're young. Anyway, what I wanted to do today while I walked around the Retiro Park was to talk about some of the highlights of Spain. I was looking for a bookshelf earlier and I came across a book called The Best of Spain, which I helped to, well, I edited a few years ago for a company, a publisher called Travel Intelligence. And the idea is that it's an anthology of writing about Spain, split into different sections, like the best cities in Spain, the best fiestas in Spain, the best bits of Spain. Anyway, it occurred to me that quite a few people, some people that listen to this might end up in Spain this summer, and it might be an idea to talk about some of the best aspects of the country. So I've picked three or four categories, and as we walk around the Retiro, I thought I might go through them. I'm walking down one of the main avenues now, away from the statue of the fallen angel, the only statue of the devil in a Catholic country or something like that. On the other side of the road from me, there are five members of the post office pushing their yellow carts. I expect they've finished their day. Another car. I don't know where these cars are coming from. So anyway, hang on a minute while I find my notes. Beaches. Everyone wants to go to the beach. If you come to Spain, you're going to head to the beach. If you come to Spain this summer, I would suggest avoiding Madrid for more than a few days unless you have something pressing to do here. It's a great city, but it is pretty insufferably hot. And as everyone says about Madrid, if it was next to a beach, it would be the perfect city. But it isn't, so it's a bit sweltering in the summer. Anyway, there are a lot of beaches in Spain, but a lot of them have now been totally urbanised and built on, which is a shame. The whole of the Mediterranean coast practically is lined by tall, sort of 5 or 6 to 11 or 12 storey buildings right on the seafront. A lot of bird life in the park today. And anyway, it's quite difficult these days to actually find wild, unspoilt beaches on the Mediterranean and the Andalusian coast of Spain. If you go down to Murcia, then you will find places, but they're not always that wonderful. Places where, you know, unbuilt upon, sort of national park type beaches. So anyway, we're going to start further down the coast, looking at the best beaches in Spain, in a little village called Bologna. Bologna is on the Costa de la Luz, which runs between Cadiz and Tarifa. This coast is without doubt one of the wildest in Spain. Absolutely stunning, mostly protected, so it can't be built upon. It's actually an Atlantic coast, because once you get round the... Well, actually, no, hang on a minute. You've got the Mediterranean, then the Straits of Gibraltar, which are the kind of the neck, the beginning of the Mediterranean, and then you've got the Cape of Trafalgar, off which the famous battle was fought. And the Cape of Trafalgar is basically the meeting point between the Mediterranean and the Atlantic. And just up the coast or down the coast? Oh my God. Fantastic guide I'm turning out to be. Well, just down the coast, I think, from that is a little village called Bologna, and it sits on a beach. And this beach, it's hardly any Spanish people have actually heard of it. I don't know how I found it, but it is basically a sort of 8 kilometer stretch of beach, and at the far end you have absolutely enormous wild sand dunes. Probably about, I don't know, 100 metres high. But anyway, they're extremely impressive. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to climb up to the top, from where you have an absolutely fantastic view along the whole of the beach and the sort of green fields of Andalusia stretching away into the background. But best of all is if you look out to sea, almost within reaching distance, you have Morocco. And you have such a feeling of just standing on the edge of a continent and looking across to the beginning of another one. Africa, which is, after all, so enormous and so unknown. And you just feel like you're right on the edge of it. Unfortunately, it works the other way if you're standing in Morocco. And this is why there are such problems with the people who try to come to Morocco from... it's come to Spain from Morocco. In fact, I remember a couple of years, some people from Tangiers, actually tried to make the journey in a pedalo, which they'd hired from a beach, and these two young Moroccan guys, and they pedaled all night. they actually made it across these straits, which claimed so many lives of people trying to get across. And when they got to the coast near Bologna, they got caught in a rip current and they just couldn't quite make it to shore. And eventually the lights came up, and they were picked up almost immediately by some Guardia Civil police in a boat, which seems so unfair, really. I mean, after doing something so crazily dangerous and almost making it and then getting picked up. But anyway, I mean, it's tragic because you get bodies washed up on this beach. Just about everyone that comes across now in the rubber dinghies with the outboard motors is caught and sent straight back again. And of course, it's all set up by mafias that are making a huge amount of money out of all of this, out of these people, and generally get away scot-free. So anyway, apart from all that, the view of Africa from Bologna Beach is breathtaking, and what you have is also another one of the peculiarities of the place is there's wild animals wandering up and down the beach, generally wild horses and cows just sort of meandering up and down. You have fishermen pulling up their boats and pulling out whatever they've caught and just taking it straight up to the restaurants at the back of the beach, of which there are hardly any. So when you actually go and order your food, the guy will say, "Oh yes, we've got this fish here, the name of which you've probably never heard. We picked it up this morning. One of the fishermen brought it up for us, and of course it's the freshest thing you'll ever taste." Very windy now. I don't know if you can hear that. What I've done is I've actually arrived up at the big lake right in the middle of the Retiro, and there's about 15 rowing boats, blue rowing boats, bobbing around, mostly full of sort of teenagers. I don't know how they can cope because there's no shade out there. There's also a couple of rowing skiffs, a couple of sculls. This is a new thing in the Retiro. People, I don't know if they own the boats or hire the boats, but they come and row up and down. Well, must be a bit frustrating, I think, because probably after about 10 strokes you reach the other end. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk along the main thoroughfare along the edge of the lake, where there's usually something going on. In fact, yeah, they're filming. They are filming something, and some of the helpers, what you call them, people that work on film sets, anyway, they're shouting at people to get out of the way or get in the way. They're trying to make the rowers all line up in front of the shop. Let's go and see if there's anyone semi-famous. There's someone telling us that we can't walk in front of the camera. Let's see what it is. Camera. Motor. Clapboard. Here we go. Action.
Caballero soy, y aunque en mi alma tienen asiento tristezas y desventuras, no por ello se ausenta de ella la compasión por desgracias ajenas. Vuestro hasta la muerte, el caballero de la triste figura.
Don Quijote.
¿Estamos?
Cut. There we go. Don Quijote is standing on a box behind the camera, and a young girl is looking into the camera watching him speak. How many versions of Don Quijote are there in the Spanish cinematic catalogue? God knows. But yeah, he's got a barber's basin on his head and a lance in his hand. So I'm pretty sure it's Don Quijote. No idea who any of these actors are. It looks all slightly amateurish air to the whole thing. We'll see. Certainly isn't Penelope Cruz, unfortunately. Anyway, we continue walking. There's all the hullabaloo of a film set up around here. All their equipment and sort of clothes hanging up on racks. People dishing out the tea and coffee, as usual. Anyway, onwards. There's normally a guy sitting here playing the guitar. Last year, at least, the same guy was here all the time. Sounded really fantastic. He must have been semi-professionally, well, I don't think he was semi-professional or professional, I don't know, because he sat here all day every day, but he was extremely good, and it's a shame he's not here today. Anyway, back to the beaches. Go to Bologna Beach. Bologna, you'll have to look at it on a map. It's just above Tarifa. It's actually not even on some maps, but you'll find it between Tarifa and Canyos de Meca. Just below Zahara de los Atunes, I think. Anyway, what next? The next beach, if you go to totally the other end of Spain, you will get to Asturias. And I think the finest beach in Asturias. Asturias is right in the middle of the northern coast, in between Cantabria and Galicia. And it is a wonderful rolling land of giant mountains leading down to the sea. It's a sort of fairy tale green, covered in lovely forests and woods. And they have some of the best food in Spain, including the very spicy Cabrales cheese and cider with everything. Absolutely amazing chorizo in cider, for example. Now look, we do have a couple of guitarists, not quite the quality I was talking about before, the flamenco guy, but name that tune. Go. Sounds like the Beatles, Al Español to me. Anyway, if you go up to Asturias on the coast near a lovely fishing port called Llanes, you will find a beach called, I've totally forgotten, but I wrote it down here somewhere, Andrin, A-N-D-R-I-N. Now this is a beach to head for. It's a small bay with steep cliffs, crystal clear water, cold water. That's the one problem with the north of Spain, but actually it's extremely refreshing when it's hot. And in the middle of the bay you've got this small island which you can't actually reach, but it's certainly incredibly picturesque. And it's just the cliffs coming down to it are absolutely carpeted in ferns and eucalyptus. And you'll often find a couple of wild goats sort of clambering around on the slopes, tugging away at the vegetation. And at one end of the beach, you've got the mandatory collective of nudists hiding behind some rocks. But it's plenty big enough to avoid that if you don't fancy that. Or on the other hand, if you do, well, there it is. Anyway, up on the cliff, a few steps down, on your way down the path to the beach, there's a fantastic bar with a great view over the beach, over the sea, the island, and of course they do all the Asturian favourites, like the cider, of course. Fantastic meat, cheeses, stews, beans. It's just sitting in there. You don't even have to go to the beach. Just sitting there and looking down is wonderful enough. Right, we're now at the far end of the lake, at the corner where there's another fountain. If I look left, I can see down to the Puerta de Alcalá. And going to head up around the back of the lake. This is the route, the 40-minute route, kind of come up from my house, which is in the back corner of the Retiro, just below a plaza called Mariano de Cabia. I find that if I walk up through the rose garden, right around the lake, and back down again, that's far enough for one day's walk. Anyway, okay, that's Andrin Beach. If you go to Asturias, go to Andrin Beach, but the whole area around there is absolutely stunning. It's completely unspoilt. There are no, well, apart from a couple of beach places up in Asturias, there are no tall apartment buildings. It's completely untouched. Okay. Moving on, Bologna. One more beach on the north coast. Now, I know a couple of podcasts ago when I was talking about living in Spain, moving to Spain, I was singing the praises of San Sebastian on the Basque coast, right near the border with France. And San Sebastian, we're definitely in the best beaches in Spain, then San Sebastian's La Concha would definitely have to be up there with them, because it is a beautiful, more than a semicircular bay, it kind of comes a bit further around, with its own dolphin, which bobs around, and you'll often see an island in the middle, which you can actually take a boat out to, which is highly recommended, because you get a great view back towards the beach. And again, as usual in Spain, of course, up on the top of the island, there is a bar where you can sit and have a beer in an incredibly sheltered spot. There's usually a couple of old guys up there playing some strange game, I think, where you have to throw metal quoits over some sort of object at 10 metres away or something. But again, you have fantastic views out to the sea. It's just a purely wonderfully peaceful place. And basically, La Concha itself is wonderful at any time of year. In the winter, it's fantastic. You get schoolboys out there playing rugby on the beach. And when I was young, I was forced to play rugby in a school, two schools in Oxford. And it was one of the most miserable experiences ever, being forced out in sort of -2 degree afternoons in the winter, wearing shorts and being made to hurl yourself on the ground or be hurled on the ground. And yeah, I think maybe that's what put me off exercise, actually, and why I can't really find any sporty things to do in Madrid. But anyway, you see these people playing rugby on the beach in San Sebastian, you think that's life, that's how I would have liked to have grown up. And in the winter as well, you can be walking down the beach in freezing temperatures, and you'll find people still running in to swim. There's a group of people there that swim all year round, no matter what the weather. Absolute madness. Anyway, of course, just behind the beach, you've got the old town, which is where all the fantastic food is, the fantastic tapas. Everything from the pinchos, which tend to be sort of very beautifully prepared little pieces of food. Might be battered crab or prawns on bread with mayonnaise or croquetas, to the stalls which are set up by the women selling the sea snails. And you get a sort of a cone full of sea snails and a pin to pick the snails out with. Now this, I'm now right around the other side of the lake from where I was watching Don Quixote being filmed before. There's a big semicircular sort of statuesque structure with great columns protecting a paved off area. And this is where you always get off of drugs. There's someone offering me some porro there, some spliffs, some marijuana. And normally this place... Okay, it's a stereo. This is where the wilder Retiro guys hang out, with the crazy haircuts and normally the bongo drums. You can get an absolutely incredible bongo thing going here on some Sunday afternoons, but maybe thankfully today they've quietened down. Anyway, so this is a great place to come and watch the world go by and watch the people. Always full up. In fact, it's a really nice feeling in the sun now. The temperature's dropped enough. And if you sit here, you've got a great view into the sunset. The rowing boats bobbing around in the lake. Yeah, there's a lot of people rollerblading, sitting around, drinking, listening to the music. Really nice atmosphere. Anyway, gotta keep moving. Because it's still actually kind of hot if you stay in the sun too long. So I'm gonna head back under the trees. Okay, there we go. Three beaches that are definitely worth visiting. Three great fiestas this summer as well. The fiesta, if you come to Spain for any length of time and you manage to miss all the fiestas, that's a big shame. And if you're here in August, there's three, well, great and curious ones. One of the biggest in August is the Malaga Feria. Now the ferias in Andalusia are basically the highlight of the year, when the whole population dresses up in these crazy spotted dresses or their sort of smartest suits, and they'll often come riding into town on horseback from goodness knows where, or just pouring out of their houses, and the festivities can last, in the case of Malaga I think it's a whole week, and basically there's an awful lot of sherry drinking and sevillanas dancing. Sevillanas is a kind of variation of flamenco, and it's just great fun. It's sort of four set parts to the dance you have to learn. It's not easy, but it's just wonderful to watch. Sort of, especially for some reason, if you see two ladies dancing together, which is very common, and they both know how to dance well, it's a fantastically beautiful sight. Anyway, so you get Malaga, for example, absolutely filled to the brim with people dressed in amazingly colourful costumes, drinking non-stop 24 hours a day. The atmosphere is just happiness, electricity. You can't beat it. If you're in any part of Andalusia and you see the sign for a feria, then stick around, go to it straight away. But the biggest, and I'm told the best, I have to say I've never been there, but I'm reliably informed that the best is Malaga Feria. And let's see, when is that? I think it is in my super notes I've got here, the third week of August. Okay, back in San Sebastian again. Semana Grande is, I believe it's in the second week of August, but I'm gonna put all these dates up on the website notesfromspain.com. And the Semana Grande fiesta in San Sebastian basically has two big things going for it: the rowing races, where these giant Basque men sit, I think it's probably eight of them, and a man steering a cox in these giant sort of rowing boats, and they compete in twos, I believe, and they shoot out to sea vast distances from La Concha Bay. I'm actually got no idea, because I'm no expert on this, but I think they row for probably about half an hour. They practically disappear from sight out to sea in these big fat boats, and then come steaming back in again, and you get crowds of thousands lined up against the edge of the cliffs along the road, which kind of goes from La Concha Bay around the headland on the way back towards the other side to Gros Beach, cheering their teams in. But maybe even, well, better than that is the fact that it coincides with an international fireworks festival, and there is nowhere better to watch fireworks than going off over La Concha Bay, reflected in the waters of La Concha Bay. And of course, being a fireworks festival, it is quite spectacular. Now I'm back round close to where Don Quixote was. A lot of chatter from the standing next to a bar. Beautiful sight, really, all these terrace tables under the trees and under shades. Very nice place to sit for a beer. And this is generally where most of the activity in the park is. A lot of people rollerblading around. The guy selling peanuts and so on. And yeah, they're still filming old Don Quixote over there. It's a shame I left the camera behind. Anyway, I'm going to start slowly heading back towards the home. Okay, the other fiesta, another one that I've never been to, but which is world famous. I'm sure you've heard of it. And I think it's probably getting kind of full of tourists, but I still think that if you want to see something crazy, it's probably worth a look. And that is the famous Tomatina fiesta, which takes place in a town called Buño, I think, near Valencia. Some roller hockey people shooting past. Buño, is it Buño? Hang on a minute. Tomatina, last week of August. Forgot to write down where it is, but I'm pretty sure. But I'll put it on the notes on notesfromspain.com. And anyway, you know what happens. lorry loads of squishy tomatoes, the excess from the crop, are driven into town and distributed to everybody that wants some, and a giant food fight basically ensues. And after a couple of hours, which I think is more or less what the whole thing lasts, absolutely everybody is covered from head to toe in stinking squishy tomato, and you have to see it to believe it. It's just a sort of as if the heavens had opened and it had seriously rained squash tomatoes for hours on end, and everybody's just having an absolutely great time. I mean, it helps if you live there, so you can just go home and have a shower, but if you kind of come up on the train from Valencia for the day, I guess you have to work out where to hide a clean set of clothes for the ride back, because otherwise it's going to be quite unpleasant. But it's just one of those crazy, crazy Spanish things that has to be seen to be believed, and maybe this year I'll get around to being there in the end. So anyway, there's three fiestas for August, each one of them definitely worth a look, but maybe the highlight of them all would be the Malaga Feria. Even if you can only get down there for a day or an evening, often with things like this it's best to stay outside the town because it's almost impossible to get accommodation. That was it for the fiestas. I had a few other things to rattle on about, but I think I'll leave them for another time, because that's plenty for one day. And what I was going to say was, this book I mentioned that gave me the idea for talking about some of the best things in Spain was called The Best of Spain. I've got a copy of it that I'm happy to give to anyone that's interested. All you have to do is to go to the notesfromspain.com website, find this the post for this podcast. It'll be under the podcasts category, podcast number 7 this will be, and in the comments there just leave, say, 3 examples of the best things about Spain. It could be, you know, one best food, a best place, a best book that you've read, something like that. If anyone leaves any comments and leaves some of their best of Spain things, then, well, whichever, well, who am I to judge, but whichever I think sort of is the most interesting, I'll send them a copy of the book. What I'll do is I'll leave a note on there myself saying who I think should have it, and you can get in touch with me via the contact link on the notesfromspain.com website. Anyway, just to say as well, there it is, there's a free book. Leave a comment, tell me about the best of Spain. And I wanted to say as well, thank you very much to all the people that have contacted me via the website or left comments to say that they've heard the podcast. It's fantastic. All I can say is you should all be podcasting yourselves, because no matter where you are or what you're doing, the beauty of podcasting is that it's pretty much always interesting for other people to listen to. So whether you're talking about sort of, you know, walking around as I am in your local environment, or talking about your job or whatever, you know, try podcasting. It's great, and it's particularly easy. I'll also put a post up on the website about the equipment I've been using to do this. It really is not particularly expensive to get into podcasting. And anything else? No? If you listen to this, as usual, I'd be extremely pleased to hear from you. So leave a comment or use the contact link on the webpage, www.notesfromspain.com. It's great to know that people listen to this. And of course, if you have any questions about living or working in Spain, then let me know and I will do my best to answer them. Okay, future podcasts coming up. Well, busy summer. Got trips coming up to Cordoba, to the Pyrenees, to Formentera, the island off Ibiza, to Gandia, one of the built-up gems of the Mediterranean coast, and hope to bring podcasts from all of them, so it's not always just the sounds of Madrid. Anyway, for now, this is Ben Curtis. And hasta luego. Bye.